God's Word for You, 2 Chronicles 13, verses 1 to 3. We'll start with the first two. In the 18th year of the reign of Jeroboam, Abijah became king of Judah, and he reigned in Jerusalem for 3 years. His mother's name was Maacah, a daughter of Uriel of Gibeah. When people used to ask me how long I'd been a missionary, I would confidently say, well, 3 years, from 1999 to 2001. But my wife would correct me, saying, well, it was really not even a year and a half. That's because I was ordained in September of 99, and I was called away to my present church in early February of 2001. So on my calendar, it looked like 3 years, but to my wife, who was a math teacher, this was not even close to being the right answer. This is part of the issue we run into when we try to understand the dates of the Hebrew kings. A simple case of my point of view versus your point of view can easily become a big difference in how we understand the numbers given to us in the text of the Bible. Already we have a question about the chronology. Jeroboam and Rehoboam began their reigns at the same time, the year Solomon died, which was 930 BC. Rehoboam reigned 17 years before he died, but now this is synchronized or compared with the 18th year of Jeroboam's reign. Why the discrepancy? Well, the most elementary guess is also the least likely, that Rehoboam died on the last day of the year and his son Abijah began his reign on the next day, the first day of the year. This is unlikely, more than unlikely. Actually, there are several things to consider. Number one, how did a king count the beginning of his reign, from the time of his actual accession to the throne, or from the following year? Second, which calendar was in use? The religious year in Israel began in April, that's Exodus 12:2, but the secular year began 6 months later, in Tishri, which is in late September, or early October, which is the seventh month. Third, how did the scribe of one nation calculate the dates and years of a neighboring nation? Was it by his own system or by theirs? Fourth, did a nation calculate co-regencies, when father and son might rule at the same time? Fifth, did a kingdom change the way it made these calculations? And sixth, is there some absolute date during the years in question to help us fix dates more clearly, backward and forward, as there is with King Solomon and the building of the temple and the date of the Exodus, all wrapped up in 1 Kings 6:1? Well, in the case of Rehoboam and Jeroboam in our verse, it appears that we are wise to answer the second point I mentioned, which was which calendar was in use, with a strong evidence that Solomon and his successors used a calendar based on the secular year. That is, when the month of Tishri, which is in the fall, would be the beginning of the year. This is especially evident from a close examination of 2 Kings 22:3 and 23:33, where it appears that way too much happens to fit inside the first 2 weeks of Nisan, that is, between the beginning of the year and Passover, which is just 14 days later. And since it's therefore likely that the southern kingdom of Judah would always be using Solomon's system, or usually anyway, it helps us understand this discrepancy between the 17th year and 18th year, because if Jeroboam up north began using a different calendar, for example, the spring or Nisan calendar, it helps to account for the information we have in the scripture before us. Therefore, I hope you can track with this, if Israel, north, celebrated the new year in the spring, but Judah, south, celebrated the new year in the fall, then it is possible for King Abijah of Judah to consider his taking the throne as being in the 17th year. Since Rehoboam's reign began, it's not springtime yet, but that in the north, They would now call it the 18th year since Jeroboam's reign began, if it's after their autumnal New Year's Day. Well, another quirk in this passage, as if that's not enough, is that Abijah's mother, Maacah, is said to be the daughter, or Bath, of Uriel of Gibeah. But she wasn't called the daughter, Bath, or rather, but wasn't she called the daughter, the Bath, of Absalom, back in 2 Chronicles 11:20? But if you recall, I suggested that it might be wise to take daughter of Absalom back then as granddaughter. Now, if we follow that same suggestion here, well, then there's no discrepancy, allowing for Uriel to be one of Absalom's 30 sons. They're mentioned in 2 Samuel 14:27. After Absalom's death, it isn't surprising that his children may have scattered somewhat to find a place with the families of their mothers. All right, verse 3. Actually, the second part of verse 2 and verse 3. Now there was war between Abijah and Jeroboam. Abijah went into battle with a force of 400,000 capable fighting men, and Jeroboam drew up a battle line against him with 800,000 capable troops. Abijah's story takes a somber turn here. His father had tried going to war against Jeroboam, and now when Abijah went, he thought he had a magnificent army, but Jeroboam mustered twice as many men. What were the southern king's choices? If he withdrew, the northern soldiers might attack him anyway, and he would lose without ever attacking. On the other hand, if he attacked, he might be wiped out completely. A certain kind of commander might leave his army to its fate and slip away to save his life. Or he could also try to come up with a clever plan to outsmart the northerners. Or he could pray for help. What would he do? Well, perhaps our author has caught us off guard, confusing us, or at least me, with that strange chronology question and the question of his mother's pedigree. Perhaps we haven't learned anything at all about Abijah's faith or faithfulness. At least not yet. But we can certainly take the time to examine our own place before God. Am I a good man? Am I a godly man? Do I submit myself to God's holy will? Do I love my neighbor as myself? Am I sorry for my sins? Should I pray more than I do? Can I give more of my time, more of my skills, more of my life to God's service? Luther ends his small catechism with many encouragements about prayer. And this I'd like to share with you is the last of them. A word for all. Love your neighbor as yourself. This is the sum of all the commandments. And continue praying for everyone. In Christ, I'm Pastor Tim Smith. This is God's Word for you.